T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Talking about it for a couple of weeks, and it seems to be picking up steam. It's the push, locality by locality, to become Second Amendment sanctuary counties in Virginia, because a lot of gun rights activists truly believe, and I don't think they're wrong, the Democrats, when they get here to the state capitol in January, are going to act quickly to restrict gun rights here in Virginia. Rich Schrager is a professor at the University of Virginia Law School, and he joins us this morning to give us an assessment of what this means. Do you think the statements by some of these boards of supervisor groups will actually hold up if anybody decides to challenge them, or is this just to kind of muck up the works a little bit and force people to make statements and not just give up the game here in January?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter, John. These are sort of symbolic statements. There are no laws on the books yet, and no laws have been passed. And frankly, the laws that have been proposed probably would not violate the Second Amendment. So the statements that are being made by these counties are basically consistent with what might come down the pike in the General Assembly later on.
Now, I'm getting the impression from the interviews we've done on this show and the stories that I've read that the primary assertion here is that law enforcement will not be asked to go and confiscate weapons, no matter what the General Assembly says. Is that your understanding of the real tip of the spear here?
Well, so it's not entirely clear. A lot of the statements I've seen don't say anything don't give any specific instructions, it doesn't seem, to local law enforcement. A lot of the things that are being talked about in Richmond are things that the state police would enforce anyway. So it's not really clear to me what role the local police or sheriffs might have. Certainly, local police do have some discretion in enforcing lots of different laws. So it's possible they would just be a little more lax on these things. But in terms of background checks and things like that, that usually goes to the state police anyway.
I think part of it's got to be gun rights activists saying, okay, all of these left-wing liberals who are supportive of sanctuary cities for illegal immigrants, where law enforcement locally is instructed not to cooperate with federal officials, if you love that so much, you're going to have to accept us when we push forward on this initiative. I think there is a direct parallel. Where's legally, what would you say is the distinction?
So there's actually a really big distinction here in the immigration federalism or sanctuary cities setting. There's a constitutional provision and principle that says that the federal government can't force state and local officials to do things.
Like integrate schools. That's just going back, you know, a few decades.
Right. Well, unless there's a constitutional violation, right, which is okay. Brown versus Board. So if the Supreme Court says you got to go do this and it violates the Equal Protection Clause, then you got to go do it. Okay. But if federal immigration law, and this is a popular position from people on the political left and the political right, it's traditionally a political right position, which is kind of a state's rights position, which is you if you have a federal law, you can't commandeer local officials to engage in it. And that's the argument for sanctuary cities. Sanctuary gun Second Amendment counties is a little different because this is state law, and in the states, inside the state, we don't have that kind of anti-commandeering rule. Local officials and local citizens are citizens of the state, and they happen to be citizens of some local government. So the local governments don't really have any constitutional standing to push back.
Well, maybe you have just revealed what the Attorney General, Mark Herring, will say now that he's been asked to issue a formal opinion on these Second Amendment sanctuary counties.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I suspect he'll say first of all, there's no law that these things apply to, so it's hypothetical. And secondly, that just as a matter of state law, when the state adopts a law, local officials have to enforce it. That's with all the laws across the Commonwealth. All the criminal code, for example, is most of it is state law, and that's what local officials enforce.
Stepping back from either one of these issues, do you agree with me that this sets us up for a very chaotic existence in a society that is supposed to be governed by the laws that are passed by the elected officials? I'm certainly sympathetic with Second Amendment rights individuals, and I'm outraged by some of the bills that have already been pre-filed in the General Assembly. But I got to tell you, it worries me as a society, if we start going down this road of we're going to pick and choose which laws we think we've got to obey. Would you concur with that, or would you push back on that worry?
Well, I think the general statement is clearly one that we should be concerned about. The rule of law is the rule of law, and we should abide by laws that are passed and court orders in general. I'm a law professor, so that's my bread and butter.
Yeah.
I think there is room in a country with a number of levels of government for governments to disagree with each other, and that can be a healthy disagreement, or it can be an unhealthy disagreement. And I think when the rhetoric is raised to such a level as it sometimes is in our politics on both sides, that's an unhealthy disagreement. And what you want is some healthy disagreement. And a different position on this would be, listen, local governments across the country, across the Commonwealth, should have a little bit of room to make some decisions for themselves. In Virginia, we don't really have home rule. The existing gun laws have been very restrictive of cities in their efforts to regulate guns. Now we see the flip. So maybe everybody can agree that we get a little bit more local control in some of these cases.
Yeah, until it steps on the rights of individuals. I mean, zoning rules, cool. I can deal with the difference between Henrico County and Chesterfield and the city of Richmond. The basic fundamental rights that we're all guaranteed. I think this is coming to a head really, really quickly here. Rich Schrager, professor at the University of Virginia Law School. Really, thank you so much for coming on this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We're going to check on the traffic and the weather when we return in a moment on News Radio WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.